Hello everybody, my name is Thomas Renner. I'm from the Vienna University University of Economics and Business, and I'm working at the LearnitVU team. I'm happy to give you a presentation how to monitor large-scale OpenACS applications. As Hector before mentioned that he is annoying his colleagues, I'm also annoying my colleagues. I will show you how before we are going into lunch break. So, how to monitor large-scale OpenACS applications? The goal is to have a live overview about the whole system, about the whole service, to detect potential flaws before they're reaching the customer. So if a flaw is reaching the customer, it's already too late. So the goal is to detect it before. A system and, or a service could, can be a complex environment. For example, for us, it's our Learn system. It's an OpenSSS instance. We are using Nginx as proxy server. We have various KVM hosts, various virtual servers. Networking is also included. The whole lecture casting system is also part of it. This touch panel is also part of the whole monitoring. So as you can see, there are many, many components. And these components produce some log data. And this log data has to be somehow summed up or aggregated. How we are doing that? We are doing that with the Elasticsearch stack. The Elasticsearch stack is, you can differentiate the Elasticsearch stack in three components. One component is the bit. There are various bits out there, for example, the file bit, metric bit, packet bit, and so on. And the second part is the logstash, which is there for aggregating the data and processing the data. And afterward, it goes really in the Elasticsearch cluster. And then it's stored there. And afterwards, you can visualize with various visualization tools like Kibana the data. For example, the file bit. How can you use the file bit for your log data? You define a config file where you say, okay, go in this directory and check the log data. You define then a log type there, and more or less that's it for you. What you have to do. And then a harvester is going on and checks if a new log line is inserted in the log file. And afterwards, it's delivered to the libbit framework. And the libbit framework delivers then to either the logstash or, in some cases, it makes sense also to deliver it directly to the Elasticsearch cluster. In our example, we are putting it to the logstash. The logstash is a data processing pipeline, more or less. You define some input, and then you say, okay, what should be done with this data in the logstash for transforming the data? So you, the log type you defined before, for example, here it's a syslog, you say, okay, take this line and distribute it through the various fields. For example, the log timestamp and so on. And with this powerful filter, you can also anonymize data, you can structure the data, you can reformat the data, you can put the data in such a format you need then for searching or digging into the data. And after you formatted the data, you put it to the Elasticsearch. You define an output, and you say, okay, please deliver the data to the Elasticsearch cluster. Here you define in which index it's delivered, and that's it more or less. So these lines is enough for configuring the minimal thing of the logstash. And afterwards, it goes to the Elasticsearch cluster. The Elasticsearch cluster can be very simple configured, only with one node, and that's it. Or you can also define it more more in cluster approach. You could, in our example, we used two data nodes and one master node. This has the advantage for, this has the advantage that if you want to upgrade one data node, you can simply do it without any downtime. The nodes, the data is stored in the indexes. For example, an index can consist of one or multiple shards. These shards are then automatically distributed through your cluster. And if you are going to run out of space or of performance, you can simply add one node more, and then the shards and indexes are distributed again automatically. And the next tool we are using is the Kibana. Kibana is also a part of the Elasticsearch stack. It's for visualizing the data you put into the Elasticsearch cluster. There are several tools out there for analyzing, for machine learning. There are different visualizations there, and so on. The more detail you can find, of course, at the Kibana homepage, at the Elasticsearch homepage. Another tool we are using is the Grafana. It's also open source. And the Grafana is more powerful in defining graphs and aggregation than Kibana, and also is more powerful in regarding alerting. We are using this alerting mechanism, for example, for notifications. We have generated a connector, or configured a connector to Microsoft Teams, because at our university we are using Microsoft Teams for communicating through our team. It was introduced during the pandemic. And the Grafana is also useful to annoy our colleagues. That's our office, more or less. Not the whole office, but part of our office. This is a cupboard. On the cupboard, we put some monitors, and then we put some dashboards. Okay, the dashboard itself, okay, you can leave the dashboards on the side. Okay, nobody cares if there's something blinking. But if you put a sound system there, and if it turns red, and then the sound system starts beep, 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 and do not stop if somebody is going there to check, it has some effect that my colleagues are doing every day some sports. At the beginning, it was really, okay, it beeps again, why it's beeping again. And the problem at the beginning was to fine-tune the thresholds, to have, okay, at which point it's really a warning, at which point it's an alert, and so on. But it improves also the communication in the office, I would say so. But the Elasticsearch is not only for annoying people, it's also for checking some details. You can, with the Elasticsearch, you can filter for IP addresses, you can filter for user IDs. You are really fast because you have lifetime data. It takes only some seconds, you have the data from the log file into the Elasticsearch. So it's very handy if you want to check really fast what's going on in the system. At the next slide, I have some graph of a web streaming during the pandemic, or it was, yeah, some in the last 2 years, this web stream. Here you can see the amount of requests which are fired. This data we are providing to our customer, to our teachers. Then you can see in which resolution the video was looked into it, for example. So it's very handy to see, okay, many users already looking high resolution videos in high definition, because we are using an adaptive bitrate. So depending on the device, we are also reducing the resolution. But we also see some of them are still using 180p resolution. So we cannot get rid of this resolution, because some of them are using it. Here, for example, you see, okay, the live stream started at 10:15 or 10:30, and almost 650 or 700 people continuously watch the live stream. Here's a dashboard for an exam. We are also monitoring the exams which are going on. And you can see, okay, exam start was at 3:30. Everybody started clicking, and up to the end, 4:30, everybody was clicking. You see the amount of post requests, so there we have a range of 500 post requests, or the get and post requests combined are here 10,000 per 2 minutes. This is per 2 minutes, that's per minute. And here you have the average response time. Here the area is about 100 milliseconds. So here is 100 milliseconds. So we are below, on average, below this 100 milliseconds. So during the exam, way below. If we combine the graph from before, we see here, that's also an exam, that in this exam, at the end of the exam, the student made many, many clicks. You can interpret something in that direction. You can say, okay, why has the student clicked so many at the end of the exam? My interpretation is the exam was more or less too short. The students had enough time at the end of the exam to click through the questions again. So, and this also for remote exams give the teacher a hint. Okay, maybe the next time I should prepare longer questions. Because as more time that students have, as more they are going into the cheating mode. And if they do not have time, they are not willing to cheat. So, maybe I can show you one graph before I finish my presentation. Let's see how many people are watching our live stream right now. Let's see if it works from here. I'm not sure, but we will find out. That's a live test, more or less. I haven't tried it before. Okay, it looks like some watch the stream. So we have about here 4,000, the peak is here the 4,000 requests in 10 minutes. Here we have the various resolutions. The amount of users who watched it, currently three. If we want to dig into it more, we can also go from where or in which area it was looked or watched. And yeah. And we have more and more graphs here, so it's really handy to dig into the data. This Elasticsearch is very, very performant. And if you have performance problems, you simply add some nodes more, and everything is done automatically. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you for your attention, and I'm open for questions. almost in time before the lunch break.
Thank you. Not technically related, but just a general question. When we were outside, we were able to saw some big paper hints about that there are some question marks behind the fluctuation rates of the examiner success rates. What's the story behind that?
Maybe I'm the wrong person to answer, but maybe Professor Norman can give some hints about it. Oder machen wir das geht so.
I mean, there are ongoing elections for the student party, and they look for arguments what to bring up. And I mean, it's a long story, and it's not so easy to answer in one sentence. But in general, it certainly happens that there are many reasons why some of the exams are better and some of them are worse, but they are not really corona-related. It's just a general observation. And we have many exams where the students are just entering for the exam the first time, and later in the semester they can repeat the exams. And we have exams where you have many of these people haven't fallen through only a couple of times, and it goes down. And there's also the exams are prepared by different teachers, and sometimes it happens that one exam was too easy. It means too easy means maybe they have reused too many questions from the last exam, and then they think they're up, and therefore it has many reasons why it's been there, but it's not system related, and it's not. It's politics. I just want to say to the students, we have done something for you. Some more questions?
Thomas, thank you for the talk. Clearly a lot to learn from you. In your harvesting of data for your dashboards, I assume you're consuming access logs and error logs from the Navi server.
Yeah.
Do you also consume the Postgres logs? And are you looking at identifying, you know, long queries or queries that could be optimized?
Yeah. The Postgres logs, we in Kibana, or in Elasticsearch, it's possible also to use another bit called packet bit, I think, which is, I think packet bit or metric bit, it could be metric bit, I'm not sure. We have used it in our development instance to check these things on the Postgres level. But the problem here is, for the live instance, we have many, many queries going on, and it's almost too much to put it on the live instance, this data. But it's possible to have this data, in theory, also from Postgres directly. There are various options out there how to do. You can also only simply use the Postgres error log with a file bit. That's also a possible option. You can use, but also the metric bit for it. So there are options out there.
I mean, there are also packages out there which does it already. But I mean, we have sometimes, I don't know, per second, thousands of SQL requests, which is producing even more data. And what we're normally doing is to have in the error log, we can set a limit on the SQL queries. And if one SQL query is above a threshold, it triggers an entry there, and then you can easily pick it up from there.
There was a question over there.
Yep.
Just to provide more info for this, we currently check actively in the error log for long in running queries above a certain threshold, and we create tickets out of them automatically. So for us, if there is a query taking, let's say, 2 seconds, it's a bug.
And we have a ticketing system. And
we have a ticket system. The system is funny. If that entry for that particular query is recurrent, then the severity of the ticket is increased.
Again, annoying colleagues.
Annoying everybody. And so one could go through all this and try to fix first the more recurrent ones, so to say.
Yeah.
At least the minimum.
There is another maybe poor man alternative that we have used in some cases, for example, to monitor certain exceptional situation in the electrical system, that one could simply issue a query scheduled every at any given interval. This could be a query, for example, on the currently running queries, and create a log file from there and import it as a regular log file. It's another possibility.
Okay, thanks a lot. I think